Good morning, everyone. Is it okay? I drink a little bit of water. Thank you. I'm so great, so excited to be here this morning. And as you know, I have an Indian accent because I am from India. And my son is already correcting my accent because he was born and brought up. He's born in Canada and he's growing up in Canada. So he has a Canadian accent. But I will try my best to speak. I hope you understand what I'm saying, right? Amen? Amen. I have very interesting names. People call me all kinds of names. Some people call, nobody ever say Reverend Raj, you know. I feel like Reverend is quite high there. Back in India, people call me Pastor Raj. And I have, as you know, that I have a heart for missions. Especially I have a heart for orphan children. And I've been going to India last 4 to 5 years to working with the orphan children in India. And they call me Uncle Raj. And I love that. And my son calls me Dada. Hospital, some people call me Chaplain Raj. And some patients call me Get Lost. Because they don't want to see me. So I'm very comfortable with any names. And some people call me just Raj. And so I'm grateful to be here. So thank you so much for inviting me here. I feel like my life kind of brought back to 10 years ago. My wife and I lived in Singapore for 5 years, and I worked with a big Chinese church in Singapore, same like here. They all speak English. It's an English church service, but mostly Chinese. And I worked as an outreach and mission pastor there, and I feel like, you know, bringing back my memories. A little bit about my families. My wife is a Korean, and our son, we call him a first Korean Indian. It's a bit like biblical, because Korean and Indian, so we call him first Korean Indian. If God willing, I hope one day God will give us second Korean Indians. So we will follow the New Testament patterns. And also one of my brothers, who is also a missionary, he still works with Operation Mobilization in Singapore. He married a Chinese. So we are like United Nations. We have a Korean in our families, Indians in our families, and Chinese in our families. They live in Singapore, and my nephew and niece in Singapore, they can speak Mandarin really well. They can read, write. In fact, my nephew, I'm very proud to say, that he was the top Mandarin student in Singapore 2 years ago, and he got an award. So isn't it wonderful? And I can speak only a little bit Mandarin. I don't know, only Ni Hao Ma, Puyao Puyao, Kong Si Fa Chai. I forgot all those things. Again, thank you for having me here. And as you know, we live in Langley, but I work in Vancouver downtown. So every day I have almost an hour and a half, or maybe more, to travel in the bus and train, walk. Sometimes I sleep, sometimes I read newspapers, and most of the days I try to read a book. I love books. Sometimes I do my devotion in the train. And one of the books I always read is A Purpose-Driven Life. You all know this book. So this message, what I'm going to speak this morning, actually from this book, because how God spoke to me. But I like to speak from my heart instead of just from the book. So that, you know, I feel like I'm speaking from my heart, and I feel like God is speaking to you through my experience, and you will be ministered. Amen? Amen. So again, thank you for having me here. And I have an interesting topic today. Again, I said I want to acknowledge this book this morning, because this message is from this book, but it's my experience this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this time that you've given to us. You are such a wonderful God. Lord, it's amazing, like at this time, at this moment, throughout Canada, in the United States, even throughout the world, Lord, people must be speaking in different languages, praying and doing worships. And we don't know how we can grasp all these things, Lord. We can speak different languages, we have different cultural background, but you still understand all our languages. Even you understand, even before we speak, Lord. What an amazing God. What a wonderful God we serve. We want to thank you and praise you, Lord, this morning. Lord, whatever I speak this morning, Lord, our main goal is to glorify your name, Lord. Lord, we also want to minister to your people, even to me, Lord, when I speak, that you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, and give us a time of worship, a time of learning, time of ministry this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm kind of a speaker, very spontaneous. I have a note here, but I kind of go back and forth. And I like this pulpit. It covers me. And forgive me, I'm not wearing my tie. You know, I don't like tie. It just, you know, very difficult for me. Pastor Xavier is running. All right. The today's topic that I want to speak this morning is when God seems distant. That's our topic. I'm not a very high-tech person, but somehow I did it this one. I thank God for that. So this is my topic this morning, when God seems distant. And the text that I have taken to speak this morning is from Psalm chapter 13. All right? So my aim of this message by the end of the day, by end of this sermon, that we will all be saying the same word there. It says, the Lord has hidden himself from his people, but I trust him and place my hope in him. That's my hope, end of this sermon, that even though we feel that God is distant, but at the end of this sermon, we will say as a family, as a church, that we will still keep our trust in him because he is faithful, he is there for us, he is going to help us. So I will read the passage, Psalm chapter 13. It's written by David. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. It's a wonderful text, a kind of a painful text when you read the first four verses. But at the end, David says, I will still trust in the Lord. I don't know exactly the context in which David wrote these Psalms, but when I read this passage, we can see that he is in pain. He is in struggle. He is really wrestling with God. He is frustrated. He felt helpless. He can't wait anymore. And he's asking God, you know what? I'm tired. I can't go on like this. I need your help. But this is my frustrations. As you know, I work in the hospital, right? So when you work in the hospital, I have so many jobs. One of my jobs is to comfort people when who are going through struggles and difficulties. And it is not easy when people are going through struggles. You know, sometimes we struggle with our faith. Sometimes we struggle to question even God, especially when the problem happens in our life. And hospital is a place, a wonderful place, because babies are born in the hospital. Very amazing, happy, and in other parts of the hospital, people are dying. So, and everything happens in between. So we can see the rejoicing people, happily going home with their babies, but there are people who are suffering, saying goodbye to their loved ones. And in between, so many cases, like people are having bad news, good news, anxiously waiting for what the test result of their blood or anything. And it is hard. It is difficult. I see all kinds of people, all walks of people, all walks of life in people in the hospital. Sometimes Christians, sometimes they are not Christians. And very interesting thing is, even they are Christians, when a tragedy happens, when they don't really know exactly what's happening in their life, they begin to doubt God. And we all have certain experience like that. We can praise God, we can sing songs, we can trust God, but still, sometime in our life, when tragedy happens, when we don't understand what's happening, we do doubt God. I did it in my life. And it's not easy in that positions. I remember a young lady, she was really suffering in the hospital. She didn't know what to do. And the team asked me to go and see this young lady. I went to see her. All she wanted in her life is to die. Nothing. No hope at all. I don't want to die. I don't want to live anymore. I don't see any hope in my life. I pray, no answer. I tried to follow exactly what the Bible says, no answer. I've been trusting in God, but no answer. I'm tired. I cannot go on anymore. I just want to die. Lot of frustrations, lot of hopelessness, lot of helplessness. All I did was I just listened to her story and tried to comfort her and pray with her. And that's a true feelings, what she's experiencing. You know, I always tell people when they feel certain ways, don't deny it, because that's their feelings. That's your feelings. As a Christian, we all go through those things. But the very important thing is, when we go through those things in our life, what do we do? Can we just give up our life, give up our faith, give up our Christian experience and walk away from our faith? Or can we come back to God, maybe a little bit of wrestle with God, and ask God to help us? Even David, here in this chapter, he was very honest with God, asking God, you know, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm helpless, I cannot go on like this, I need your help. So this morning, I don't really know exactly what you're going through. In my last 22 years as a Christian, sometimes I was so excited. Sometimes I was very sad. Many a times I thought, my goodness, I don't know, why did I follow Christ? It's not easy. It is difficult. The important question that we want to ask this morning when we go through this struggle is, how can I focus God? Especially when we feel His distance, His absence in our life. How can we reconnect with God? How can we get back to God? So I have a few points that I want to make this morning that I am putting in my life, which is not easy. I'm not in any way saying you that I'm a great person, you know, I have overcome. No, I still struggle. But this is what I'm doing in my life to encourage myself to go on with Christian life. Some people deny the fact, right? See, like, I'm a person who can easily smile. People say I can easily smile. I can easily hide my pain behind my smile. Some of you can. Some people, very easy, you can find out. When you look at their face, when you look at their behavior, we know they are going through some struggles. But I'm a person who can easily smile, I can easily make a joke, still I can hide my pain. And we call that on denial. Right? We can easily deny. Even though, you know, sometimes in the hospital, I work in the mental health, sometimes I hear some people just committed suicide. Even though they were making jokes, they were having good life, suddenly we hear the news, they committed suicide. And we always wonder, what happened in their life? They seem to be okay. They seem to be all right. They have a good life. But we don't really know exactly what's happening in people's life. My kind of person, like, you know, I can smile, but I can hide my feeling behind my mask. And sometimes we do, as a Christian, we pretend everything is all right. We don't have to pretend, right? We don't have to act, because God knows anyway. You know, we can hide from our husband or wife, our children, our friends, even our workplace. But God, who we believe and trust, understands everything, even before we ask. So it's okay to be honest with God. So we do go through all those things. But the main thing is, what can we do? The first point, when we feel these kind of things, is the next one, next slide. Yes, sir. Be honest with God about our feelings. Right? Be honest. And this is not easy, to be honest with God. Right? We want to be denied, we want to kind of prolong, we want to say, I'm okay. You know, We all do greetings in different countries. I don't know really. I mean, I assume that your background is most of you are from Asia or Hong Kong. In Singapore, greetings is not now 10 years ago. The greeting is like, have you eaten? Right? People usually say, have you eaten? Yeah, I had food. What about you? I'm eaten. I had food too. That's kind of greetings. When I came to Canada, our greetings, I don't know other parts of Canada, BC is, how are you? Right? We all ask, how are you? And what do you say usually? I am fine, what about you? Right? That's very normal response in BC. How are you? I am fine. How are you? I am fine. Everybody's fine. But can you just practice this one when you go home today? If somebody asks you, how are you? You say, I'm not fine. They will get a shock. Because we don't really mean when we ask somebody, how are you? We really mean that how they are doing. It's kind of a greetings, right? I tried. Somebody asked me, how are you? I said, I'm not fine. They just look at me like, 1 second. Okay. Then just walked away. Because we don't know what to respond. And it becomes a part of our life, asking, how are you? And we don't really tell the real feeling inside our heart, right? Especially in West Coast, people say, people want to hide. We don't want anyone else to know. Some people make a clear boundary. Workplace is different. Home life is different. Being in the family is different. Everything is different. We want to make compartmentalize everything in life. Feelings. When we go through this struggle, we have to be honest with God our feelings. As I said before, doesn't matter whether we hide it or not, God understands our feelings. Why can't we just go to God and tell, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. I feel helpless. You know, I feel like crying. And David expresses feelings here. What does he say? He says, very clearly, very open and very honest with God, he says, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? He's asking God, no? I don't find you anywhere. You are hiding from me. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? He's going through a tremendous stress in his life. And he's asking God, you know what? This is what my life is all about. I'm going through struggles. And why are you hiding from me? I remember once, you know, part of my job is to take, if somebody dies in the hospital, usually we keep the body in the room for some time and we transfer the body to morgue. And sometimes family members come later to see the body, right? So part of my job is to go to morgue and search for the body, take the body out, and you are all alone. And it's a very cold place and so many bodies. I really have to make sure which one is the right. If I bring wrong body, I will lose my job. Family might kill me. I might end up in the morgue next day. And it's very difficult. But the most difficult is not taking the body. Taking the body to a viewing room, we call it viewing room, and make sure body's okay. Bring the family members there to do the last respect. And sometimes people react in different ways. Some people cry. Some people get angry. Some people shout. I remember once a wife of a deceased person came to see along with other two people. And she spoke different language than my language. Right? As soon as she saw the body, she started to shout and scream at the body. I thought she was going to kill that person again. She was screaming and shouting and almost taking that body apart. So I asked the other person, what happened? Why is she shouting? Why is she screaming? The other person said, you know what? She just found out he was married before. And the daughter also came to see the first marriage. Daughter also came to see the body same times. And that's why she got married. And that's so hard. What should I do? I said, you know what? Let her cry. Let her shout. Let her scream for a while. Because that's her true feelings. She got hurt. She was upset. But when it comes to Christian life, sometimes we tend to act as if everything is nice. But the word of God says, even in the scripture, very clearly says, we don't have to hide anything from God, but be honest with God. God wants us to have a real relationship with God. You know, as you know, young people, you fall in love with somebody, you show your true feelings, right? You don't hide it. And sometimes when you are fall in love, maybe you hide it because you want to be very nice all the times. Everything's wonderful. Oh, I don't fight with this person anymore. I don't argue. He's wonderful. She's wonderful. I mean, that's a little bit different. What I'm saying is usually we want to be honest with our partners. God wants us to be real with him. If we cannot real with God, who can be real with God? Right? As I said, God understands anyway. We have to be real with God. The genuine relationship is to be open. Be honest about our feelings. So I encourage all of us this morning to be honest with God. The second thing I want to say, when we go through struggle, why, there's a screen here. Wow. Focus on God, who he is, and his unchanging character. That's hard too. Because our feeling can change, our circumstance can change, but the only one thing in our life that never changes, the character of God. Because God never changes. I never been in Sunday school, because I've never been brought up as a Christian. I was born as a Hindu. I will tell some of my stories in my sermon. But when I grew up, I started to teach Sunday school. There's one song I always remember, is that Jesus never changed, Jesus never changed. Man of the world may change, but Jesus never changed. And that's very true, because God never changed. He has an unchanging character. And we have to get back to God again to focus on God, who he is and what he has done in our life. And as I said, I can easily say from here, I can easily speak from here, but it is not easy when we go through a struggle, especially when we feel God's absence. Somebody wrote a book called Where is God When It Hurts? I'll tell you my stories. When I was 19, I was in my high school, I became a Christian. I was born and brought up as a Hindu. And in my community, I am from the southwest of India, a place called Kerala, it's by the beach, by the Arabian Sea. And there was not even one Christian in my community, not even one. All are Hindus and some Muslim families. And I came to know Christ through my brother, a simple book called Who Is He? The book talks about what Jesus done for us. You know, in Hinduism, I don't know about Hinduism. In Hinduism, we have to do a lot of things to reach God, right? Like you had to walk miles and miles, we had to climb mountains, somebody had to offer a lot of things and send money to please God. But the book spoke to me that we don't need to pay even single cents to reach God. But Jesus paid our penalty for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Isn't this wonderful? So that book really spoke to me, because I didn't have to climb mountains. I didn't have to pay money. I don't have to live in guilt anymore. But Jesus did pay my sins penalty for all and all on the cross of Calvary. So I became Christian when I was 19. I was so happy. I was so thrilled. I never touched a Bible before. I never been in Sunday school. I never been to any church. I didn't know anything about denominations, you know. Like, so many denominations are there. I found out only after I became a Christian. I didn't know then. But it was very hard. I was happy in my heart. I had a joy in my heart. Joy of the Lord was my strength, then, even now. But I had to go through a lot of difficulties. My mom was so angry with me, because I used to be the good person in my family, did all the rituals, Hinduism. All my friends thought I became mad, insane, something is wrong with me. Even some of the groups in my community threatened to kill me. They said, because when I had joy in my heart, I wanted to go and share gospel with everyone. I told everyone, I always use this word, that term, it's the only word I know. I was blind, now I can see. And they asked me all kind of theological questions. I said, I don't know the answer. All I can say is, I was blind, now I can see. And Jesus made me to see. Jesus changed my life. I didn't have to pay anything. Of course, it was hard. I have to leave home. During my high school day time, I had only $2 in my pocket, actually 67 rupees in Indian rupees. I had a small bag, a pair of shoes. And my brother said, who was a Christian, you know, it's better for you to leave home now because I don't want you to die. So I left home. It was very hard because I love my mom very much. I'm the youngest in my family. I'm quite close to my friends and all, but I had to leave my home. And I became just suddenly Christian missionary in 3 months' time. I didn't know anything about Bible. I don't know how many chapters are there, how many books are there, where is New Testament, Old Testament. All I can see is I was blind, now I can see. And Jesus helped me to change. But it was a good journey, but difficult journey. Because I joined Operation Mobilization. You know, in India, provinces or states are divided by languages. As soon as you cross from one province to another province, you speak different language. Totally different language. So they sent me another province. I couldn't speak the language at all. Zero. I couldn't speak English. Really, I can only speak few words in English. What's your name? Where you are from? That's only two words. And the team was very strict. If you don't speak English, you have to pay a penalty. If you don't have a soap, you have to pray God to help you. They asked me to bring blanket. I thought blanket means bed sheet. I brought a bed sheet. They said, no, you will die here because it was in the mountain. Life was difficult, but still I had a joy in my heart. And my leader came and talked to me. He said, no, Raj, Christian life is wonderful. God can definitely help you. What you experience is a real experience, but I want you to know it's not easy all the times. You will face difficulties in life. You will face challenges in your life. But do one thing. Do remember one thing. Always, always focus on God. His unchanging character. And he gave me this word. I still remember. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I think. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he will help you to get through this. And when I look back in my life, I can see that God has been so good to me. God has been so helpful to me. He always provided my needs more than I can ever think of. I just want to read one verse. If I take long time, forgive me, I will try to finish on time. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. It says, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in troubles. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountain fall into the hearts of the sea. God is our refuge and strength. One of the author wrote, V. Raymond Edmond said, never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. You know, we will all go through the darkness in our life. But don't ever forget what he told us in the light when we go through in darkness in our life. The third thing, put our trust in God and his promises. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. You know what I learned over the years as a Christian? I really believe this word when I started my Christian life. But the time went by, slowly I started to think in my logical mind. You know, we all can do that. Instead of trusting in God, sometimes we try to do countings, numbers in logic. But what is God is saying us? To put our trust in the Lord and his promises. Because as you read and study the scripture, you can see everywhere, countless God's promises. You know, our God is a faithful God. If he says something, he will do it. He will do it. No matter what we believe, God will help us. But we, as a Christian, we need to put our trust in the Lord and his promises. I have a lot of story to say. One more story I want to tell you as a missionary back in 1988. We were asked to work in a Muslim, among Muslims. And it's not easy. It's very, very difficult because they don't buy our books. You know, OM team, I don't know. I just tell you what OM team works in India. The OM, Operation Mobilization Team in India, now has changed. Those days, they'll give you some books, some Bible, some books to sell it, right? They won't give you money. 10 young people staying in the school or back of the church, cooking, take turns to cook, and they will give you some books. You have to go door to door, house to house, to share gospel with others and to sell these books. If they don't buy, if you don't get any money, no food. You have to pray. That is the only way we can eat food. And they gave us some books which can only read by Muslims. And they don't like Christian books. They don't buy it. And many, many days, even months, we had such a hard time. 10 young people working among Muslims. Very hostile environment because your life can be lost. You can go in the daytimes. You know, in Muslim community in North India, most men go for work. Women usually stay at home. And they don't like to see men. And it's so hard. Once in a while, somebody comes and buy a book from us. And sometime next day, we go to the street, the husband would have come and told them that night, give back that book. And no money. No food to eat. And it was very cold during the winter. North India can be cold, not like South India. The only thing that we had in our heart is to put our trust in God. Nothing else. And we know that God is sufficient for us. His grace is sufficient for us. He provides our needs. Right? He provides our needs beyond what we can even think. But when we go through the struggle that time, it's not easy. But we prayed. We prayed. Many times, you know what we ate? Potatoes and black coffee. Because potatoes was very cheap. We bought that one. We boiled them. We eat for the breakfast, lunch. Sometimes fast and pray. That's what we did. But the end of the day, I could testify even this morning that God has been so good to us. When we put our trust in God, His countless promises, He promises came true in our life. And it was an exciting time actually those days. But sometimes I don't have that courage now sometimes. I don't have that faith sometimes. And I really want to get back to my spiritual life. Lord, I need your help. And we all need that. Sometimes some push in our life to get back to God. God understands our pain. God understands even our lack of trust, some people say. God understands. And we need to get back and put our trust in the Lord. And the last thing is, don't forget what God has already done for us. You know, this is always challenging for me. You know, sometimes we grumble. Even simple things. We forget what God has done for us. You know, when you study the Old Testament in Israelites, as you see, you can see that, you know, God has been taking them, right? Taking them from place to place. And God provided all their needs. They saw the miracle after miracle after miracle. But again and again, what did those people did? Whenever they had some challenges, they said, oh, we should have stayed back in the Egypt. Why did you bring you here, Moses? Why did you make us to go through all these difficulties in desert? They kind of forgot what God has done for them. The biggest thing, actually, that even if we forget everything what God has done for us, is that God has given His life for us, right? On the cross of Calvary. He died for us. He sacrificed for us. He gave up His life for us. What does the David says in this passage? Back to Psalm 13. What he says? He says, I will still trust in the Lord. The later part of the chapter, he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me. I hope we can say that. I hope that we won't forget what God has done for us. The simple things. Simple thing complaints. I do complaints, you know. You know, I learned to drink coffee. when I came to Canada. We drink almost tea back in India. Even Singapore, coffee was not that great. But here I learned, you know, we all know Tim Hortons, right? Even this morning I came so early, 9 o'clock, and I didn't know what to do. So I just drove this way and found a Tim Hortons on my right side, and I had coffee and came back. But can you imagine? I like double-double, you know, medium double-double. That's my kind of coffee. But I'm just trying to cut my sugar now. 2 creams and 1 sugar. But sometimes if I don't get what I really need, I get upset, even for coffee. And we complain, oh, this is not good. It's not hot enough. It's not, you know, sweet enough. It is not that enough. That we complain and we forget, actually. You know, I had only $2 in my pocket when I left India, 1986. I didn't have anything then. You know, when I look at my life now, I have a job, I have a wife, I have a son, a beautiful country to live. Even people like you invite me to speak. That's a miracle. And still I complain sometimes because 1 sugar is less in my coffee. And we can easily forget sometimes God's promises, God's provision, God's help in our life. But I want to encourage each one of us this morning that don't ever forget what God has done in your life. We can easily forget, actually, when we go through struggles. You know, we don't know anything. We forget everything. See, my conclusion I want to say this morning is, it is a reality. It is true that we all go through struggles in our life. That is true. Doesn't matter whether we are Christian or not Christians, whether we have faith or not faith, we all go through the struggles. And we will have doubts sometimes in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we tend to ask questions to God. But be honest with God. That's okay. If you feel like crying, I always encourage my patients, cry. I cry. That's why I don't like sad movies, because I cry. I like some comedy or action, because sad movie, I don't want to cry. I really cry. But it's okay to cry sometimes, right? Be honest with God. If you feel like crying, cry. And don't ever take our attention from God, but put our focus and trust in the Lord, His unchanging character. Because He never changes. He never leaves us nor forsake us. And always remember what He has done for us. You know what? If He could do things in the past, He can do it for us today. He can do it for tomorrow. I believe in that. And I want you to believe. So this morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I have no idea. I don't know anything about this church, your life. But we have one, somebody this morning among us who knows everything. His promise is, if we knock, He will open the door for us. If we seek, we will find Him. He is calling us to come today. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank You for this time that You've given to us, Lord. Lord, life is not easy. Life is difficult at times, Lord. Whether we are Christian or not Christians, we are children of You or not, Lord. We still have problems and difficulties in our life. Lord, at times, Lord, everything seems to be dark. Everything seems to be against us. Everything seems to be not really doing the way that we expect them to go. But despite of all these things, Lord, we know that You are here with us. Your name is Emmanuel, God who is with us. You're like a sun, Lord. Sun shines always, but sometimes we see the sun, sometimes we don't see, because cloud kind of covers the sun, getting the light to us. Lord, You are there for us, Lord. So we pray that, Lord, this morning, Lord, if we have any less faith, Lord, forgive us. Give us Your strength to put our trust in You again. Lord, help us to be in touch with You, to be open with You about our feelings, our struggles. Help us not to lean on our understanding, Lord, but help us to put our trust in You. Because when we see in our life, Lord, You have done so much in our life, Lord, we can never ever even stop thinking of thanking You, because You've done so much for us. Even the cross, the pain and the suffering and the agony that You went through on the cross of Calvary, Lord, You have done so much for us, Lord. So help us trust in You, help us to believe in You, Help us to walk with you, Lord. We want to be a blessing, not only to ourselves, but our family and friends and others who we in touch with, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.